Welcome to Kitchen Table Life with Nancy and Charity, a podcast where friends gather to spill the coffee. We talk practical truth about life's challenges, loving well, and leading strong.
Come on, friends, and gather around.
On today's podcast, we're talking about new beginnings. How do you know when it's time to take the leap? Have you ever had to start over or maybe start something new? Yikes, starting something new is a little scary.
This is new for us, Nancy.
Well, yeah, this is new. So this is a little scary, but we've had a little runway, right?
Yeah.
So we're taking a leap of faith with this podcast. We're, you know, automatically between the video and the fact that anybody can access it, we're a little vulnerable. There's unknowns, potential landmines. I mean, the critic in me is automatically wondering what's next, right?
Right.
It's just yikes.
What's great is that we're bringing something to our podcast that we get to share with the world, which is our friendship.
Listen, we're talking about taking a leap of faith today, starting new things, starting over. And this is hard. Sometimes it's traumatic, right? Sometimes it is fun, exciting, but it's all in God's timing.
It's a great adventure.
It's interesting that as you and I prayed about different topics for the podcast, that this is the one that kind of bubbled to the surface first, because kitchen table life has a little bit of a story to it.
We have a great story.
Well, it's because ultimately it's a story of our friendship, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
I mean, really, it's 8 years in the making, if you think about it. Because Wow. We both moved back to the state of Maine in 2016.
Yes.
Right. And God started building our stories to intertwine. And we ended up at the same church.
Yes.
Which I'm sure we'll have a whole podcast about that at some point. But ultimately, the thing that really intertwined our relationship was doing radio together.
And, you know, that seems so unlikely because neither one of us were radio professionals.
That's a whole story about how God brought me into radio at Worship Radio in Maine. You and I were in church together. You were looking for a job. And I was like, hey, if I can learn how to do this, you can learn how to do this. What do you say? We built entirely new radio stations together, built content together, learned how to manage promoters from Nashville together.
Yes.
We started a radio show called The Kitchen Table. Why did we call it The Kitchen Table?
Where do you go when you go to someone's house? Where do you sit? Where do you talk? Where do you bring someone to? And most people bring someone to the kitchen table.
Well, at my house especially. And it's like, and this too is where we pour it out. It's where we spill the coffee. It's where we have life conversations, right? And we did that on The Kitchen Table with Nancy and Charity, which was the show. And we did a lot of talking about what the word said. We raised money. We worked with the community. And then Charity went and got married. We had yet another transition and a new beginning.
Yes.
Sweet. But our friendship didn't end there, right? You guys went to rural Maine to pastor a church. And I stayed at the radio station and we visited. And then I transitioned again. And I moved from Maine back to Nashville, leaving you to your church in rural Maine. And so Kitchen Table kind of came to an end. There was no more radio program. But in the meantime, you and I started having a conversation. Like, what would it take to keep this thing going? And we bought a URL and we couldn't get Kitchen Table because it was just too expensive.
Right.
And so we ended up with Kitchen Table Life, because this is where life is happening, is around the kitchen table. It's where we've cried, we've laughed, we've eaten too much food. We have read the word, because the word's always central to the kitchen table. After trying blogs and some different ideas on the website, it just kind of sat.
And one of us is very anti-social media, and that hasn't helped.
Right?
Yeah, that being me.
Right?
You know, we all bring something to the table. We all bring something to the kitchen table.
That's so true. Every person that comes to the kitchen table has a story and they have a value that they bring. It's all different.
When you have a dream, it's great to have dreams. And then sometimes those dreams aren't for right now. They're for later.
Well, and I would say when I tried to launch it as a blog, I really launched too early in the wrong format. And do you think sometimes we do that? Like we feel like God has given us this gift or this idea or this dream, and sometimes we rush ahead and we don't really include him in the process. Charity, I mean, do you ever feel like sometimes we just rush things along? I mean, I kind of feel that's what happened with the blog is it was like I had this dream that God had birthed between us as friends with the radio show, which we loved it. Right. It was so great. And it was sad to see it go, but we felt like it was the right season. We knew we didn't want to let go of it because we had this huge, like, brainstorming conversation. We paid for, the website and all that stuff. And it laid dormant. And really, I tried to kind of relaunch it because I knew how grand it was and how much I loved it. We launched it too early in the wrong format because it wasn't God's timing.
And that's very easy to do because you have a dream and then you get excited. You're like, woohoo, let's do this. Especially when the dream has all the right principles. You know what I mean? Like you're trying to do something good with it. You're trying to do something for the kingdom, trying to bless people, bring people closer to Jesus. And there's a lot of good things. There's timing. I know that we had talked about recently the parable of the sower and talking about dreams and how you plant your dreams.
I heard a sermon one time where somebody was talking about, oh, there's a lot of dreams in the graveyard because people have died with their dreams. And I can understand the principle because I do think there's a boldness that and a courage that has to take place to step out in faith on those dreams, right? But at the same time, I think sometimes we get overwhelmed or we doubt ourselves because we feel like the dream has been dormant for so long. And instead of saying, is this God's timing or what is God's timing? We take all of that responsibility on ourselves instead of shouldering the burden with friends or taking it directly to the Lord and saying, is now the time, God?
Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's wait.
Yep. I
Yeah.
really hate that last one. Like
Wait.
I want clear black and white lines. I want to know where the box is. I want to know where the lanes are. And just let me know and I'll travel in those. And if it's no, I'll take a different lane. It's okay. But the whole wait, I'm like tapping my foot, and I'm like looking at my watch and going, is it time yet? Is it time now? Are we there yet? Like, I am not a patient waiter. And that may be some of what God had tried to work out in me. I feel like he's still working a little bit.
Talking about the parable of the sower, I like your version. Do you want to read it?
Like my version, don't
I
want to read
like
it.
your version.
Well, I think, when we're talking about dreams, because in this case, we spent time with the Lord and felt like this was the right time to launch Kitchen Table Life. Because you and I talked, and I was like, hey, here's what I'm thinking, which is not unusual. I've had you call me with Jake at 11:30 my time and be like, listen. And so we do these things. And sometimes they're grand ideas. Sometimes, like you said, it's go forward. Sometimes it's no, and sometimes it's wait. But at the end of last year, you and I both heard it's time to move on this. How long have you known me? Has there ever been a season that I'm not busy? I don't know that I'm capable.
You're always busy, but you're busy with purpose. So
Thank you.
you're welcome. So that's a good busy, but you're able to carve out some time for this. And my life has given us time for this.
There's a season for this. And ultimately, we're post-COVID. It seems
Wow.
like it became one giant blur, doesn't it? I heard somebody talking and they were like, the last 3 years has been 1 year in my head. But I think we've lost that connection and friendships. And we have come to realize through not only our friendship, but friendship with others, the value. And really, that's what we want Kitchen Table Life to be all about. And so we're so grateful that God said, this is the season. But now that I've rabbit trailed as I normally do, I'll do what you asked me to do the first time, which is to read this scripture. And so Jesus actually talked about sowing seeds in Matthew, chapter 13, verses 18 through 23. And he said, hear then about the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, Immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case a hundredfold, and another 60, and in another 30. And what I love is before this, they're like, why do you always talk in parables?
He's like, because you won't understand if I don't.
So this is why we share stories at Kitchen Table Life, because yes. I think it takes God's word in this one parable and we get to add life to it. Like, this is what's really going on today, because some people say the Bible, that's an old book. It's not of any value anymore. It's not applicable to today. Well, it is.
Yeah, it is.
The stories are just slightly different.
You can apply this to anyone's life. That's what it's there for. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right?
Yes, it is.
I like this particular parable because I'm learning to garden. I'm learning to be patient with growing things and planting things. And I like how it reminds me of life, where you plant something and you want it to grow. And sometimes it takes longer. You have to be consistent. Got to keep watering it. Got to feed it. Got to, you know, keep it safe. You got to keep the dog from digging it up. those kind of things. But it's the same with life. It's like with our podcast here, we're feeding it. We're watering it. We're nurturing it. We're building it. We're bringing it consistency. We're bringing it, you know, dedication. And we're watching it grow. And, you know, and that's, I just think that's important. It's like Galatians, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up.
That's one of my favorites. And I always go back to that when I'm in a season of God, because when things don't automatically create a success, that's when we start having those thoughts. Did I do this wrong? Did I hear you wrong? And especially for me, like with a type A personality, I'm like, just give me the 1, 2, 3 and I'll do it. I'll do it with excellence. I'll do it with integrity. I'll do it. But when I've done what I think is the right thing and what I feel like is the appropriate success doesn't come forth, I'm like, did I hear you right? Charity, this is what I think I heard. Do you think that I heard him right? Like, I will go and double check myself, which there's value in that, right? But we can get lost in that. And then when the waiting season is a long time, I got to tell you, I don't know if you do this, but if I feel like if the waiting season is too long, then I start looking at this scripture and going, okay, did I sow on rocky ground? Did I not make sure the ground was fertile? Did I sow in the thorns? Is my dream being choked off because I didn't sow in the right place? And I think we can get caught up in that and miss the grace of God. Because when we've sought him and partnered with him, his grace is sufficient. He's there protecting that seed. Psalm 91, and I don't have it in front of me, so if I misquote it, please nobody crucify me or send us hateful emails. But it talks about abiding in the shadow of the Most High. We sometimes forget that's our right as children of God. And so we think we're out here in the wilderness by ourselves, you know, with no protection, trying to sow these seeds, trying to live the dream, trying to create bigger dreams. And we are overanalyzing to the point where we get weary, or we're working so hard to the point we get weary. Or dare I say, we're praying so hard and so long and fasting so, you know, and we get weary in doing the good. And we forget that God is carrying us through and he knows the end from the beginning and he's going to see us through and that he has great plans and hopes for us. And I say hope. He doesn't hope for us. He knows for us, right? Our job is to keep our eyes focused on him and not get lost in the midst of everything that's going on, not to grow weary, because all of these seeds that we're sowing, and sometimes it's hard because some of those seeds are like, I sowed it And then, like, all of a sudden I'm seeing the buds just a few days later and it's growing. And for me, I'm just going to be honest, that's usually about when the plant dies. I don't have I got you here. But no, we see it quickly. And then other times we've sown a seed. We know that we heard God or believe that we heard God tell us something, and it has been weeks, months, years, decades, and now we're growing weary in the waiting.
So I guess I'm not the type A personality then. Well,
No, you're not.
I'm
But
not.
it's okay.
It's
We
that's why
grow
we're
up.
great friends, right? One thing I like about the parable of the sower is that he's planting the same seed in all these different places. The dreams God places inside me, and I plant those dreams and I water those dreams and I want to harvest those dreams. I'm okay with the waiting part. But that's because I think I'm okay with the gray. There's my hashtag. I'm okay with the gray.
Well, and that speaks to your personality, right? But let me ask you this. Two different personalities, great friends, but we've had some conversations, even as of recently. We both have things in our lives that we've been waiting for. And even though you're okay with the gray, I think your greater frustration comes when the other personalities come along and they're not okay with the waiting. And they're asking you, Charity, how long are you gonna wait? Charity,
Oh, yeah.
you think by this time this dream is gonna come to pass? And you're like, if I could have manifested it on my own, I would.
So
Like,
true.
does that become wearying for you to
Oh,
have that personality come and start asking you about the dream that they're aware of?
yeah. Yeah, and I want people to, like, I like sharing my dreams with people I care about, you know. I want them to be with me on this journey, whatever the journey is, whatever the dream is. But oh yeah, sometimes the questioning from the outside being not myself,
Of course.
is like, oh, come on, let's jump on the same bandwagon here. Let's just,
Let's stand in hope and faith together.
exactly. And it's okay. We all deal with waiting differently. And that's okay. Sometimes when other people don't want to wait in agreement, is that a thing?
No, I think that's fair because the waiting in agreement, I think, is that standing in faith, right? I'm going to stand in faith, believing, knowing that God's promises are true and that His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But when we don't see it, sometimes it's hard. And people like you who aren't overanalyzing it, that you're like, I'm okay with the gray. There are others that come along that are not okay there. And they're asking you, Charity, when's it coming? What's going on? Does that cause you to doubt yourself?
Being okay with the gray has really caused me to learn to listen to the Lord's timing. And
That's beautiful.
yeah, to rely on when he says go or stop or start or wait. And there have been multiple examples in my life, and you know some of these already, where it's like people would ask me something and I'd be like, not yet, not yet, it's not time. Or, a rant, so many things. And I really can't explain what it feels like to know when the time is right. But as a person who lives in the gray, when it's time, it's time. And doesn't matter to me. I guess that's when my small part of my little percentage of a personality kicks in. I'm like, God said it's time. We're doing this. Boom, 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 boom. Done. But no, it does get weary. Dealing with the questions gets weary. Yeah.
But we know that we're going to reap if we don't give up.
Yes.
And so I want to circle back to our question for this podcast, and that is, how do we know it's time to take the leap? And for Miss, I'm okay with the gray. It's, I know that I know that I know. I'm the analyzer. So I can even hear that God has told me yes, and I will always walk in obedience, but there's a conversation that's subliminally going on in my head. And but if A happens, then this happens. If B happens, then this happens. And so I'm like preparing myself. I want to make sure that I'm sowing into fertile ground. And so for me, knowing that it's the right time to take the leap is, have I prayed about this? That's number one. It's never time to take the leap if you haven't taken a minute to say, God, is this what you would have me to do? Because I don't want to leave too soon.
Right. And sometimes we have great ideas, and that's a great idea, but we don't need to do anything with
Right. And it may not be the season.
Right.
I may not have the resource. And there's something to be said for taking the leap without the resource, right? But that is definitely a I have to hear from God. And I think what sometimes people, because your husband's a pastor, right? And so I work in the church as well. And so a very common phrase is, well, the Lord told me to do it. Well, praise the Lord. What am I going to say to that? I'm going to say, well, praise God. I be blessed and whatever it is that you're moving towards, because there's nowhere to go beyond that. And we get comfortable with saying that sometimes. And I absolutely believe that we hear from the Lord. Don't misunderstand. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But what I also know is the Lord says in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So I always say that when I believe the Lord has told me to make a jump, to make that leap, whether it's small or big, that I'm going to confirm it. I'm going to see something in his word that he's going to speak to me. I am always married folks who are listening, hear what I'm saying. In addition to hearing from the Lord, you're going to hear from your spouse. And I promise you, the cost of moving without having heard from your spouse is great. If your spouse hasn't heard too, it doesn't mean that you heard wrong, but it may mean that they're not ready. And when you step forward without unity with your spouse, then you're definitely not sowing into fertile ground. It
No.
may take a little while for that spouse to come along, but the waiting is worth it because you're stronger and you're able to battle anything that might be coming forward from taking that step. So you're gonna pray, you're gonna hear from God, he's gonna verify it with his word. Your spouse is gonna hear the same word or some variation thereof. And
Right.
then I think there's gonna God puts people of wisdom. He says, surround yourself with a multitude of counselors. And so you have to decide who that is for you. For me, it's Charity. I've got some other great friends. My pastor, definitely. I'm not making a big move without talking to him. It's going to be confirmed in multiple ways. And if it's not, it's always worth pausing. What's key is don't stop dreaming.
Nancy, I'm reminded of something you used to have on your door in your office. What was the sign that you used to have hanging on your door?
You mean the one that I had when we were doing radio?
Yes.
Yeah. So the sign on my door said, God's plans for you are even bigger than your greatest dreams, which came out of Ephesians 3:20 that says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. And I think that's what we have to keep in mind is whatever we're dreaming, even what you and I have dreamt about Kitchen Table Life, this podcast, God has greater plans. This whole process makes me nauseous because of the vulnerability, the potential of failure, the potential that I might misspeak or misuse God's word, which would never be my intention, but I'm human, right?
Right.
Those things have the potential to be crushing. We have prayed through this. We have spouses that are supporting us in this. We have verified this with God's word. We have spent the time and the effort to create a foundational landscape. And so I have to trust what his word says that, he's looking down at us going, baby girls, like what you're thinking about, the effort, the things you're doing and you're putting into it. Oh my gosh, if you can't even know how great my dreams are for you. And so I think that anyone who's listening to this podcast needs to hear the same thing. That dream that you've kind of had in your pocket for a while that you're like, should I do it? Should I not? Pray, seek wise counsel, and then step out, take the leap. But know that what you're dreaming, time and consistency, right, is going to create this success. But God has a greater plan than we could have ever imagined. And if we'll just sit back and partner with Him, make Him our foundation, and just time and consistency, He's going to do some incredible things.
Until next time, be sure to like, share, and follow us on social media.
And keep it real at the kitchen table.